desperately trying to communicate to it. Ben admired his persistence, but eventually Joshua slumped his shoulders and he put the shield down, shaking his hands out in frustration.
"I don't want to question your instructions," Joshua began, "but you are. That's okay. I don't blame you. It's going to be a while before you make any sort of contact."
He turned to Ben.
"Let's give Joshua a break. Why don't you have a go?"
Elizabeth's sword was in its scabbard, leaning innocently against one of the walls. Ben eyed it like he would a particularly hungry piranha, and walked up to it carefully, as if the mighty sword might fly forwards and attack him. He remembered vividly what happened the last time he tried to draw the sword. The moment his hands had made contact, he had felt raw energy, unlike anything he thought possible, magic infusing and overwhelming his senses. Had he not let go quickly, Ben felt he may have done lasting damage.
"It's a sword, not a snake," Joshua said with a smile, watching Ben's daunted expression with amusement.
"Easy for you to say. That thing almost killed me last time."
"Let's start with baby steps," Charlie said, watching Ben approach the sword intently. "Focus. Try the communication, then just gently touch the handle before pulling away again. You're just letting the sword know you're there, nothing more."
Ben rubbed his hands together slowly and focused on the gleaming silver scabbard, noticing once more the incredible blue gem in the center of the hilt. He shut his eyes. He was in no hurry to touch the weapon after what happened last time. Instead, he concentrated and calmly reached out to the sword. He wasn't surprised or concerned when the sword didn't respond, but kept at it for a good 5 minutes.
"It must be sleeping," Ben thought.
Realizing he couldn't stand there forever, Ben opened his eyes and reached out again, but this time his finger brushed the base. A flash of light almost blinded him, and he tore his finger away immediately.
"What happened?"
Charlie asked, watching Ben like a hawk. Ben shook his hand out vigorously.
"Same as last time. The sword flowed a tiny amount of magic into me, and it almost knocked me out."
"That's okay," Charlie said, raising a calming hand. "Let's keep trying." He turned to Joshua.
"You should do the same. In the meantime, I'm going to see what I can find that might help us."
Ben tried gamefully for the next half an hour. Each time he felt the painful surge of magic, and each time he stepped back, refocused, and tried again. It wasn't pleasant, but until Charlie gave him some other solution, he was determined to plough on. Even Joshua, who initially found Ben's expletives amusing, started looking at him with sympathy.
"Why don't you take a break?" Joshua said. "Take a few minutes to recharge the batteries. It looks like you're just slamming your head against the wall."
Ben looked at Joshua with surprise.
"Wow, am I detecting some sort of empathy here? I would have thought you'd relish me getting hit by magic every few minutes."
Joshua shrugged, looking a little uncomfortable.
"It was amusing for a while, but you're clearly not getting anywhere, and unless you can use the sword, we're both in trouble."
"That's true," Ben nodded with enforced sincerity. He turned away so Joshua couldn't see his true reaction. Was that a subtle indication that Joshua was starting to bond with him? He wouldn't have thought it possible. But Ben recalled a definite look of concern in Joshua's eyes upon the umpteenth time the sword had repelled him. A sudden thud interrupted his musings.
"Nothing," Charlie said, after slamming a book shut with frustration. "There's nothing else here that can help us. I'm going to have to look elsewhere."
Before Ben or Joshua could respond, Charlie was flying towards the door.
"What should we do in the meantime?" Ben asked.
Charlie didn't even look their way.
"Keep practicing."
Ben exchanged glances with Joshua as Charlie flew out the room.
"You can't tell me he doesn't annoy you sometimes," Joshua said, picking up his shield.
Ben grinned.
"Occasionally, but he's worth it."
Chapter 6. It's about acceptance. Another day passed. Ben and Joshua snuck out of the training room only long enough to grab food and bring it back up. It was safer that way. They couldn't risk Zadiah or one of the other group leaders spotting them and questioning why they weren't at their duties. Once again, Ben wished that he could reveal the secret of the armor and its guardians.
That would make everything so much easier. But of course he couldn't. Their task had to remain a secret. For now.
It was already approaching mid-morning when Joshua suddenly sat bolt upright.
"I think I got it!" he exclaimed wildly.
He had been sitting cross-legged on the floor, the shield in his lap, and had been hunched over the artifact, his face focused on its center, his blonde hair hanging down and almost brushing the shield's edge.
"Yeah?"
Ben had been sitting across from him in similar fashion, the scabbard and sword resting across his legs, and now he leaned back and rubbed at his eyes.
"You talked to it. It accepted you."
Charlie was off somewhere doing more research, presumably, so it was just the two of them. Joshua frowned.
"Slow down," he insisted. "No, it hasn't accepted me, nor has it responded, but it is definitely there, and I definitely made contact. I could feel its mind against mine, and it didn't shut me out. Not completely, anyway."
He sighed. "I guess I've still got a long way to go." Ben shook his head and glared down at the weapon covering his own lap.
"You're doing better than I am."
He could feel the energy of the sword even through its scabbard, like he had a live wire lying across his folded legs. But fortunately, the scabbard was at least enough to prevent him from getting a shock from that incidental contact.
"Maybe stop charging about like a bull in a china shop," a voice offered, and Ben started.
He hadn't heard Charlie return, but when he glanced over, there was his best friend back on the stool he'd claimed as if he'd never left, a plate of food on the desk beside him. Charlie chuckled at Ben's reaction, popping a tomato into his mouth and chewing idly, then held up a hand as Ben switched that glare to him.
"I'm just trying to help here," he protested after he'd swallowed. "Seriously, you attack every problem like it's, well, like it's a battle. Well, that's great sometimes. It's what got you through training and why nothing ever rattles you for long. But this isn't like that. These artifacts aren't your enemies. They're not tools to be used willy-nilly either. They're allies, and you've got to go at them softly, or you'll get their backs up, and then I get a warning to back off," Ben finished grimly.
He'd already been shocked by the sword more times than he cared to remember.
"Yeah, I get it. And you're right. But how do I get there? I'm trying to be as gentle as I know how, and as non-threatening. Nothing's working."
Charlie frowned.
"Maybe it's because you're still taking the lead," he suggested slowly, as if he knew his words might offend, but was determined to get them out there anyway. "You're a natural leader, and you're used to being in charge, even with the rest of the Guardians. You call the shots. I'm not saying you're a tyrant or anything. You're pretty good about listening to suggestions and considering other options, usually, but you still get the ball rolling each time."
He scratched at his nose.
"With the box dwarves, you said you were reaching out to them. But maybe you don't have to do that here. These things are a lot brighter than box dwarves, and a lot stronger. Maybe they're already right there, waiting. Not for you to reach out to them, but for you to let them in."
Joshua nodded.
"That's what I did," he confirmed. "Maybe not deliberately, but I wasn't pushing or even trying to get in. I was just thinking about it, and that's when I felt it."
"You were receptive to it," Charlie agreed. "That's what it needed."
"Let it in," Ben repeated softly. "Be receptive to it."
He nodded. What Charlie said made sense.
"Yeah, all right. I'll give that a go."
For a second, he eyed Joshua, who stared right back at him. But there was no longer any animosity there that Ben could see. Still some wariness, perhaps, but that was a long step from where they'd been.
"I'm really sorry about your dad," Ben said finally. "I know I never said that before, but I am."
Joshua's father, Arnold, was a senior warden and one of Draven's right-hand men. He had led a team to put down a dark elf incursion the week before, but it had been a trap. The rest of the squad had been killed. Arnold himself had disappeared. They still didn't know if he was alive or dead, and Ben knew that had to be eating away at the other boy.
"When I thought my parents might be dead, it was horrible," he admitted softly. particularly because there was nothing I could do about it. Joshua frowned, but the expression didn't appear to be aimed at him.
Yeah,
he agreed after a second. I keep wishing I'd said something to him before I left, you know? Cleared the air? I thought I'd have more time.
His voice broke a bit on that last part, which Ben kindly ignored. Joshua and his father had argued the last time they'd seen each other, and a lot of it had been about Ben and his family, and the guardianship.
I get that, Ben said and sighed. I don't even remember the last thing I said to mine. I'd been out the door, so it was probably something like, yeah, yeah, see you later.
He shook his head.
When I came back, they were gone.
And didn't see them again until just a few days ago, when he'd claimed the sword's scabbard and a spell upon it had sent him into the void where his parents had been waiting. He brushed away a tear at the thought of that brief reunion, reminding himself that it had only been temporary. His parents' bodies were still frozen somewhere in Saktar's palace, where they'd been captured and nearly killed. They would be there until he could defeat the Dark Elf King and bring them the space they needed to come back safely. Joshua wasn't finished, though.
Sorry I was such a prat to you before, he said. The whole thing between your dad and my uncle, and then when they were charged with treason, which just cemented my opinion of them, then you come strolling in like you own the place, and the very first thing I do is shoot you, Ben cut in, unable to stop from grinning. Yeah, not my finest introduction.
No, but it was impressive, Joshua replied, a grin slowly forming on his own face as well.
Wasn't expecting that, to be sure, especially from someone who wasn't even an apprentice yet.
Ben had swiped Natalie's spell shooter and somehow managed to fire it without any training at all, which was practically unheard of. But he'd been focused on following Draven and the diplomacy director, Colin, and Joshua had gotten in his way.
I'm glad we've got past that now, Ben told him seriously. And I get why you had it in for me.
Considering his father had killed Joshua's uncle, Ben could hardly blame him for his animosity.
Yeah, well, I was still a jerk, Joshua offered.
He held out his hand, his face serious but open.
Done with that?
Ben accepted the handshake.
Yeah, definitely.
He knew saying that didn't solve everything or erase the months of animosity, but it felt like a start. Then his gaze strayed back down to the weapon in his lap.
Which means I really should focus on this instead.
You've got this, Charlie urged. Just don't push or demand, he grinned. In other words, don't be you.
Ha, thanks loads.
Ben rolled his eyes, but laughed anyway. The suggestion was not without merit. He closed his eyes again and just sat there, hands on his legs, near but not touching the sword, breathing deeply. It was just like when he was using a spell shooter or controlling the box dwarves as far as focus, except this time he did as Charlie had suggested. He didn't push his mind into or even towards the sword. He just made himself receptive in case it wanted to reach out towards him. And after a time, it finally did. It was the merest flicker, just a hint of a presence near his mind. But Ben knew he hadn't imagined the sensation. His eyes popped open at once.
I did it, he exclaimed. Brilliant, said Charlie. What happened?
I felt the sword, Ben answered.
You were right. I didn't go after it. I let it come to me. And it did. Just a brush, but I definitely felt it.
Joshua smiled. And I had another go with the shield while you were doing that, he explained. This time it made real contact. It knows who I am, and that I'm its new guardian.
His blue eyes were wide with awe.
I think it's starting to accept me.
Ben felt a surge of frustration at that. He was still trying to get the sword to connect with him, and Joshua had already been accepted by the shield. Charlie obviously saw his consternation and had an explanation ready.
Remember, the sword is more powerful than the shield, he reminded Ben. It's the most powerful of all the pieces, which is why it went to the head guardian. It's going to be a lot harder to control as a result, just like you.
he deadpanned.
Hey?
But Ben couldn't help grinning, and what Charlie said did make him feel a bit better. Joshua didn't seem to take offence to the idea that his artifact wasn't as powerful. They really were making progress in more ways than one. They'd taken a crucial first step, both in the mastery of the artifacts and in their partnership. Ben just hoped the next steps didn't take quite so long. As it turned out, they did not. After eating something, Charlie had been thoughtful enough to bring back food for all three of them. Ben and Joshua tried again. This time, Ben felt the sword connect with him, mind to mind, and he resisted the reflexive urge to put up a mental block. Instead, he forced himself to sit back and allow the ancient artifact to rummage through his memories, seeing everything he had done thus far in his life and everything that had happened to him. Finally, Ben shaped a thought in the sword's direction.
"I'm sorry I tried to control you," he apologized. "I didn't understand before. I think I do now."
The sword didn't reply with a coherent thought, but Ben could feel that it had received his message and his contrition, and that it accepted both. A sense of wary approval washed over him.
"We need to work together," Ben told it next, "in order to save the Institute and the world. We both know I can't force you, so I'm asking instead. Please help me."
The sense of approval grew stronger. It was like being wrapped in a warm hug, Ben thought. Only this one was a mental impression from an ancient and awesomely powerful magical artifact, and the hug felt like it was laced with electricity.
"I won't touch you until you allow it," Ben promised the sword, "and I won't ever use you to hurt anyone who isn't a threat to our world."
The sword seemed to hum, and when he opened his eyes, Ben saw that it had begun to glow slightly. He smiled.
"May I?"
he asked aloud. The hum increased, as did the intensity of the glow. Carefully, like he was stroking a terrified kitten, he settled his one hand upon the scabbard. At once, a feeling of intense energy shot through him, but this time it was not painful. Rather, it was invigorating. Then, very gently, he wrapped his other hand around the hilt. It was as if his whole life he had lived swaddled in thick gauze, able to see and hear, but only dimly. And now that wrapping had been torn away, and Ben could perceive clearly. Everything was sharper, brighter, more detailed. He could see the beads of condensation on the tomato in Charlie's hand, hear the faint rustling of old paper as the page of a book behind his friend shifted, feel the texture of the stones beneath him, and the tension in his own muscles, and the smooth metal of the sword against his hands. He was suddenly aware of everything around him, especially of the sword itself, which had somehow leapt from its scabbard, and now stood proud and free in his hand, its blade alive with light.
"Yes!"
Charlie cheered from off to the side, and Ben beamed. He looked over at Joshua, who had risen to his feet, the shield now snug on his arm. It was clear that his partner had also made contact with his artifact and been accepted by it.
"I think we're ready,"
Joshua said, and Ben nodded, scrambling to stand up as well, the sword automatically shifting to a ready position.
"I think you're right," he agreed.
Chapter 7. To Arms. Now that they had the approval of their artifacts, Ben and Joshua were able to begin training in earnest. They made great strides in harnessing the sword's and shield's power, and in learning to work together. But there was one problem.
"This is taking too long," Joshua groaned, setting the shield down and mopping sweat from his face.
Long gone was the smooth, always put together rich snob who had snubbed Ben so thoroughly at the start of his apprenticeship. They had been sparring against an orc Charlie had conjured, practicing working together to take down the fearsome creature.
"Every day we wait, more people die.
If you go off to Suktar before you're ready, you'll die, and then there'll be no stopping him," Charlie pointed out.
Ben nodded.
"We have to keep at this until we're sure," he agreed.
But inside, he chafed at the delay too. He
He was also worried about Natalie. It had been days, and he had not seen her even once. Not since she'd stormed out of the meeting. Charlie had, and said that she was fine, but still unbelievably angry at them all, including him.
"Don't expect her back any time soon," he'd replied the last time Ben had asked.
That hurt. Natalie had been the first person the two of them had met when they'd first come to the Institute, even before they'd officially enrolled. She had been their first friend here, and their staunchest companion. Not having her here at their side, her green eyes bright and her smile brighter as she curled a lock of hair around her fingers, left Ben feeling off balance. Still, he wasn't going to change his decision. This mission was for Guardians only. Even Charlie had admitted that, knowing full well it would leave him out too. They just couldn't take the risk of bringing anyone else along. The armor would protect them, but anyone else would be horribly vulnerable. Natalie had to understand that, and, hopefully, someday she would be able to accept it. That would most likely be after Ben and the other Guardians had already gone on the mission, however. He just hoped they would still be alive to come back and see if she forgave them.
"You sure you're ready for this?" Charlie asked,
spell shooter in hand. He looked a little worried. Well, a little more worried than usual.
"We have to be," Ben replied, glancing at Joshua, who gave a terse nod. "It's not like we're going to be going up against box dwarves out there."
"I know, but..."
His best friend sighed and raised his weapon.
"Fine. I'll say nice words at your funeral."
He then fired the spell shooter into the combat ring, causing a cloud of purple smoke to erupt in the center. When it faded away, two dark elves stood there. Even though Ben knew these were just magical constructs like any training foe, he felt a shiver of fear slice through him as he stared at the pair. They glanced over and scowled, their eyes narrowing and lips thinning. Both elves drew swords, summoning their power as they stalked toward Ben and Joshua, like deadly cats on the hunt for their prey.
"Ready?"
Ben muttered to his companion, raising the sword in one hand and the spell shooter in the other.
"Ready,"
Joshua agreed, his voice barely trembling at all. He fired his spell shooter into his free hand, and the silvery light that shot out quickly shaped itself into a gleaming sword. Then he sheathed his spell shooter and switched the sword back to his other hand so that he could maneuver it and the shield more easily. Then the dark elves were upon them. The first one shot a spell at Ben, which he didn't even bother trying to dodge or deflect. The purple bolt bounced off him and he relaxed slightly. He hadn't been sure the protection his parents had woven around him would still work. After all, the charm had drawn its power from the scattered artifacts, and now they were found and reassembled. However, it looked like he was still immune to dark elf magic. Sadly, the same could not be said for their swords. The elf lunged at him, raised a sharp sword fully extended, and Ben barely managed to parry in time.
"Pay attention!" Joshua barked beside him. "I can't block everything!"
He was busy with the second elf, Ben saw, trading blows. Except that Joshua didn't have his spell shooter out, just a sword and the shield, so while he could block spells, he couldn't fire any back. That meant he had half the usual attack options, and clearly that was not something he was used to. As Ben watched, the elf lunged, and Joshua moved to block. But his opponent cast a spell that yanked Josh's sword to the side, leaving him wide open. Ben gasped as the elf lunged in, taking full advantage of the sudden gap in Josh's defenses, and spearing him straight through the heart.
"Ah!"
Josh cried out, and everything froze. He fell backwards off the blade that had impaled him, grimacing in pain, but also embarrassment.
"Damn it!"
Ben half expected to see a bloody wound on his ally's chest, but of course there wasn't one. This was a training spell only. The Dark Elf's blow would have stung, but nothing more, and the deadly hit was what had frozen the spell. However, it seemed it had only frozen Josh's opponent, not Ben's, as Charlie suddenly shouted,
"Ben, look out!"
Ben spun back just in time to hastily parry a blow to the face and backpedaled quickly. But the elf advanced fast, not giving him a second to breathe or think, and that flashing blade was growing closer and closer. Finally, it slashed out towards his throat, too quick for Ben to block, and even as he squeezed his eyes shut, he felt a sharp pain across his neck. Then everything went silent as the spell froze his foe too.
"Wow, they looked deadly. I'm glad I'm not in there with you,"
Charlie offered as Ben opened his eyes. He shared a concerned look with Joshua.
"Tell me about it," Ben exclaimed.
Joshua looked slightly overwhelmed. Neither of them had anticipated just how fast the Dark Elves would be or how ruthless. Ben narrowed his eyes. That still didn't explain how easily they'd beaten them, though. They were better than this.
"Joshua," he said, "these guys are good. They're fast, nimble, and utterly lacking in hesitation or mercy. But I think both of us were just taken by surprise. Modesty isn't exactly my strong suit, so let's be honest. I'm one of the best spellsword apprentices in a while, and you're not too bad either."
He grinned as Joshua chuckled.
"You're right, we are pretty good. Charlie, you want to reset the spell?
Ben, you need to go on the offensive while I hold them off a bit. I need to get used to realizing the shield is my strong point now."
Charlie took a bite of his ham sandwich and spoke around an impressively full mouth.
"Okay, guys, have fun."
He raised his spell shooter, and the spell reset, sending the two dark elves back into action. This time, they lasted a full 2 minutes before Ben backed into Joshua, tangling both their legs and landing them in a heap on the floor. The elves were leering down at them as they stabbed both boys through the stomachs, and froze again.
"Better?" Charlie commented, as Ben picked himself up and dusted himself off, and Joshua did the same.
Ben sighed and shook his head. These dark elves were fast, faster than anyone he'd faced before, and he wasn't used to having to fight with someone either. That was throwing both of them off. But they'd get it. They had to. On their third attempt, Ben managed to slash one dark elf across the arm and stab the other in the leg. Joshua blocked several nasty blows and sent one sword flying with a particularly powerful slam of the shield.
"That's it!" Charlie cheered.
Joshua nodded, but he was too busy parrying a blow from the other dark elf to press the attack. Ben found himself free to do so, however.
"Coming in low!"
he shouted, and ducked under his ally's upheld arm, sliding beneath the shield to stab at the dark elf there. The sword took the attacker in the stomach, piercing cleanly through mail and flesh alike, and the elf groaned and collapsed. That left the other one. The second elf had not been idle. He had rushed in and stabbed at Ben's unprotected back, only to have his sword knocked aside as Joshua quickly brought the shield down hard. Ben straightened, turned, and thrust, going high, his blade passing over the top of the shield as it lowered further. The elf had not been prepared for that, and took the sword tip to the throat, gurgling as it stiffened and fell. Ben tried not to let on how much his stomach heaved at the sight of the two elves' blood, or at the thought that, had they been real, he would have just killed them. This was war. He had never wanted to hurt anyone, but they weren't giving him much of a choice.
"Nicely done!" Charlie shouted. "I thought you guys were going to be a pair of dark elf shish kebabs with garlic sauce and salad this time, and some chips on the side, with ketchup."
Charlie patted his tummy distractedly. Ben rolled his eyes.
"Charlie, focus. We're almost dying here, and you're thinking of charcoal grill. We'll eat later."
He lowered the sword and nodded his thanks to Joshua.
"First, we need to gather the others."
He couldn't hold back a small, satisfied smile as he sheathed the blade. While they definitely weren't there yet, he could tell they were on the right track, and with serious practice, he felt it would be only a matter of days before they became a formidable team.
"It's time we made our final plans."
Charlie nodded.
"Cool."
Then he sighed.
"But, man, I could really go for a good kebab right now."
It was such a relief to finally be making steady headway on their training, and Ben wanted to make sure everyone knew about it. Time was ticking, and he didn't want to delay a second longer than was vitally necessary.
"Enough is enough," Ben said.
He called the other guardians together at the Crimson Tower once more, along with Charlie, for a final meeting. They had sent word to Natalie as well, but she had not responded.
"Joshua and I will be ready in a few days, and we cannot wait any longer. We need to get moving."
Around the table, the others nodded. Each of them had stopped by to check on the boys' progress with their artifacts, and they had seen how the two were growing stronger every day in the use of the sword and shield. They all knew how deadly this war was. Even a single day's delay could cost countless lives.
Very well, Dagmar agreed. Charlie and I have already gathered most of the supplies we'll need and stashed them below. I'll make the last arrangements and we'll be off in the morning.
It's about time, Krobeck growled.
He banged a fist on the table, causing all their goblets and plates to jump. They decided to save time by combining a meal with the meeting.
I hate sitting here waiting while others are out there fighting and dying for us.
Abigail sighed. Of them all, only she looked truly worried. Ben wondered if that was simply because she was the youngest, or if it was that she was the most open. He worried all the time, for example. He just didn't let it show.
I'm ready,
she said, trying to look as confident as the others. Ben smiled at her. He knew she wouldn't let the rest of them down. They were the guardians, and they were all in this together.
Tomorrow morning, then, he stated,
and everyone nodded.
We'll meet here to retrieve the supplies, then head out. See you all then.
And he rose to his feet, effectively ending the meeting. The others lingered a few minutes, but eventually dispersed, until it was only him and Charlie left.
Who'd have thought we'd end up here, eh?
Ben asked his oldest friend with a sad little smile, as they exited the tower and walked back towards the Institute.
Plotting to save the entire world from Dark Elves and the rest of the Unseen Kingdoms.
Yeah, if you'd told me all this a few years back, I'd have said you'd gone mad,
Charlie agreed.
Jury's still out on that one, by the way.
But his smile faded as he looked away, then back up.
I wish I could go with you, he said softly.
I know.
Ben rested a hand on his best friend's shoulder.
And I'd love to have you there, you know that. But it's safer this way, for everyone.
Charlie nodded and didn't try to argue. That was that. When they returned to the Institute, Ben went straight back up to the Phantom Room they'd been using. Joshua was already there and was fast asleep in his bed. Because it had been too risky for them to go back to the Apprentice Dorms each night, they'd rigged up temporary sleeping arrangements there instead. With a sigh, Ben sank down onto his own bed. Everything was happening so quickly, but so slowly as well. It had taken forever just to get to this point, it seemed. But now that it was here, he was terrified of messing things up. Still, all he could do was his best. He had to trust in himself and his friends, and in Elizabeth's armour. But right now, he knew what he really needed was to get some sleep. Tomorrow was going to be a very big day. It felt like Ben had only just closed his eyes when it seemed like someone had sneaked up to his bed and shouted directly into his ear. Sitting bolt upright, he looked around, heart pumping, eyes bleary, as he tried to work out what was happening.
Spell swords to arms.
The shout, magically enhanced, repeated again. Josh was looking around as well, hair sticking up in all directions, and a second later, the shout repeated.
We don't have time for this, Joshua warned.
But Ben shook his head.
I don't think we have a choice, he argued.
They rapidly threw on their clothes and buckled on their spell shooters.
Let's see if we can get to the Crimson Tower, but if this really is an actual raid, I don't see how we'll be able to just opt out.
Once outside, they made their way towards the Institute's main courtyard, and from there would head towards the Crimson Tower to meet the others. But the main courtyard was rapidly filling with apprentices, and Ben cursed as he recognised all of them. It was his group. Every apprentice was assigned a duty, and because of his skill with a spell shooter, he'd been placed with other talented shooters under the supervision of the spell sword Zadaya. Their job was to protect the Royal Institute in case it was attacked, though the very notion had always seemed the height of foolishness. Apparently, now that it was open war, that had changed.
We need to keep moving,
Joshua urged again, but Ben shook his head.
If the Institute's under attack, we need to help, he argued. Otherwise, what's the point?
Finally, Joshua sighed.
Fine, he said grouchily. Let's help them end this quickly so we can get moving again.
Ben nodded and made straight for his group. He was supposed to be here, after all. Joshua followed more cautiously, but in the mayhem, no one seemed to notice or question his presence, and it quickly became clear why everyone was so preoccupied.
We have a band of goblins, my friends, Zadaya explained, standing a little ahead of everyone else so he could face them. They are trying to scale the back wall to come at us from behind, the spellsword grinned. But we'll soon put a stop to that.
He gestured behind him, where assistants were even now dragging up tall racks filled with tiny pellets in several colours. Spells for the spellshooters.
Get what you need, my young superstars, and let's go,
Zadaya instructed. Ben didn't waste any time. He dimly remembered, when he'd first arrived here, him, Charlie and Natalie, going into a spell shop to buy spellshooter ammunition. Ben had been so overwhelmed that he'd initially wound up with over £300 worth of spells. It had taken forever for him to narrow that list down to something even remotely manageable. Those days were long gone. Now Ben was a model of efficiency, as he quickly found the spells he wanted and added each one to the orb of his spellshooter. In 2 minutes, he was outfitted and ready. They split into smaller groups after that, as Zadaya positioned each cluster either where the goblins had been or where he thought they might go next. Ben had been made a squad leader, in charge of 5 other apprentices, and his team was placed near the far-left corner of the Institute's outer wall. If Zadaya, or any of the other apprentices, wondered what Joshua, who had been assigned to the wardens, was doing with them, no one said anything. Most likely they all felt that any extra help was a good thing. Somehow, none of them seemed to notice the shield itself, which Joshua was wearing on his arm in plain sight. It appeared the artifacts were capable of concealing themselves from casual view when they wished it. At least, the sword and the shield could.
Be ready, Ben warned his team as they settled into position. We don't know where they're going to come over, so we might need to rush to help one of the other squads in a hurry.
He drew his spellshooter, the weight a familiar comfort in his hand, and, after a moment's hesitation, drew the sword with his other. A few of the others glanced at the weapon in surprise, but that lasted only a moment, and no one asked anything about the gleaming silver blade. Perhaps they thought it was just another spell. A clatter from above made Ben look up, and he saw a scaly hand appear over the top of the wall, its sharp claws digging into the stones there. A second hand quickly followed.
They're coming! He shouted over his shoulder.
I don't see anything, one of his teammates replied, and Ben realized that he'd only been able to make that out because of the sword. But a second later, a gasp from behind told him that at least one of the others had just seen the bulky shape that had pulled itself up over the edge. Then, with a guttural cry, the figure jumped down, landing just a few feet to the left of them. It was a goblin, around Ben's height, but much bulkier, with scaly green-grey skin, bat-like ears, beady red eyes, and a wide mouth full of small and crooked but sharp teeth. It grinned when it saw the apprentices, showing those teeth, and raised its claws as it took a slow, deliberate step towards them. Ben shot it full in the face before its foot could hit the ground again. The powerful stun spell took effect instantly, and the goblin slumped, landing in a heap right by Ben's feet. But by that point, 2 more goblins were jumping down to face them. He and his squad quickly had their hands full. Fortunately, Zadaya had trained them not only in how to fight, but how to fight together. The apprentices rapidly positioned themselves so that they were standing in a tight cluster facing outwards. That way, they could defend in every direction and not have to worry about stepping on each other or blocking one another. They took the goblins in pairs, going mostly for stun spells, but also using bindings and flashes and other techniques to distract and disable. Each apprentice had a sword in hand, either a real one or a spelled one, in order to fend off physical attacks. But the goblins never got close enough to take a swing at any of them. Ben was feeling pretty good about the way his team had handled the attack when he heard a gasp. He instinctively looked up and stepped back just in time to avoid being flattened, as a large figure plummeted to the ground right where he had been standing. But this was no goblin. It was nearly twice that height for a start, and its skin was considerably thicker, rougher and darker, its ears smaller, its eyes a flat black, and its teeth more like tusks. Its arms were so long, its oversized hands dragged on the ground. It was a troll, and it laid about it with those arms the second it landed, sending 2 of Ben's squad flying from its fearsome blows.
To me!
Ben shouted, raising his sword high, the silver edge catching the light.
Everybody, focus on it! Stun and fire spells!
He got off a stun spell of his own, and the troll reared back but stayed upright. The creatures were not only ferociously strong, they also had a partial immunity to magic. This was not going to be easy. The troll
grinned down at them and raised one of its arms high. Then it swiped down, those claws extended, straight for Ben's head. Ben raised his sword to block, knowing as he did that he didn't have the strength to beat back a blow like that. Instead of tearing through his arm and his face, those claws rebounded as a shiny silver disc interposed itself. Joshua had leapt in front of Ben, Elizabeth's shield lifted to take the blow. Despite the troll's great strength, Joshua didn't falter. His arm was steady as a rock, the shield held high.
"Thanks," Ben managed to gasp.
"Don't mention it," the other guardian replied. "Now take this thing out."
Ben grinned.
"You got it."
He sprang forwards, sword upraised, and swung with all his might straight at the troll's left leg. The blade spun in a glittering arc and sliced cleanly through flesh and bone, severing the limb just below the hip. The troll bellowed in pain and toppled to the side, unable to support its weight on the remaining leg. The other apprentices took advantage of the moment and swarmed in, loosing spells at it from point-blank range. In a moment, the troll had collapsed unconscious. The wound was already beginning to close, Ben noticed. That was another thing about trolls, but it only meant the troll wouldn't die from blood loss. The leg was gone for good, and the troll was no longer a threat. Joshua was still standing beside Ben.
"Nice one with the sword," he commented.
Ben grinned at him.
"Same to you, the shield. You really saved my neck there. Thanks."
His companion nodded.
"It was different from sparring in the ring," he admitted quietly. "More real. More dangerous, but also
more alive?"
Ben finished.
"Yeah, I felt that too."
It had been exhilarating, even as it had been terrifying. Was this what Krobeck felt like every time he fought? If so, he could understand why the dwarf enjoyed combat so much. Another band of goblins had leapt down from the wall, and the other apprentices were already rallying to combat these latest invaders. But Ben stayed back.
"We need to go," he told Joshua softly.
He hated the idea of leaving while there was still fighting going on, but they had a schedule to keep, and the others would be waiting. With the troll done in, the rest of the apprentices should be able to handle things from here. Besides, it would be far easier to slip away while everyone was still dashing about everywhere. If they were lucky, no one would notice he was gone until they headed back inside. Joshua nodded, and together they turned away from the combat towards the Institute's one and only gate. But they had taken only a few steps into the gardens between them and their destination when a voice called out.
"Going somewhere?"
Ben froze. He glanced back, but he already knew whom he would see. It was Aaron. The other apprentice was standing by the fountain, hands on his hips, and a look of righteous indignation plastered across his dark, handsome face.
"Ben Greenwood,"
he called loudly, making others stop and turn.
"Where are you going? You can't be thinking of leaving, can you? We're at war, and you're on duty in the middle of defending the Institute from attack. Why, if you walked away now, that'd be dereliction of duty, wouldn't it?"
That last was directed at Zadiah, who had stopped and was now watching this interaction, a frown on his usually cheerful face.
"It would be,"
Zadiah agreed, striding forwards to confront Ben.
"But I am sure Mr. Greenwood has a good explanation for his actions, yes?"
Behind him, the rest of the squad had finished off the last of the goblins, and the area by the wall was quiet again. Everyone had turned and was watching this little confrontation play out. Ben started to open his mouth, but then stopped. What could he say without giving away their secret?
I just need to run an errand," he finally managed.
He didn't need to see Aaron's smirk or Zadiah's frown to know how lame that sounded.
"An errand?"
Aaron pondered aloud.
"Was it ordered by a ranking Institute member? Because otherwise, I'm sure it's still a violation."
His dark gaze latched onto Joshua.
"And Joshua Whistletop, you were attached to the wardens, weren't you? What are you even doing out here? And sneaking off with Ben?"
It was clear he was enjoying this immensely. Ben turned to Zadiah, trying to come up with an explanation, but the senior spellsword held up a hand and cut him off.
"I am disappointed, Mr. Greenwood,"
the elf stated sadly.
"We will discuss this later.
Right now, I have no choice. I must place you in jail. He looked at Joshua. Both of you.
Joshua stepped closer to Ben. We could knock them out and make a run for it, he whispered. But Ben shook his head. These were fellow students and institute members, their classmates and friends. Hurting them wouldn't be right. And even if they managed to stun both Aaron and Zadiah, the guards at the front gate were now watching the confrontation. They'd never make it past them. Although no one had noticed the sword and the shield, their spell shooters were confiscated. As they were led away, Ben worried that he might have just thrown away their only chance to escape. Chapter 8. The Institute Dungeons. Zadiah shook his head.
What were you thinking, Ben Greenwood?
He asked, as his apprentices marched Ben and Joshua back around the Institute to what looked like a small shack against the back of the building. Instead of a door, however, beneath that slanted roof was a set of stairs leading down below the Institute to the dungeons. Ben had been there before with Charlie and Natalie on the quest to find Elizabeth's boots. It looked like he was going to visit them again, this time as a prisoner.
I would never have taken you for a coward, the elf continued, as he led the way down the stairs.
The door had been closed before, but now it was wide open, and they filed down a narrow corridor.
Exactly the opposite. And you just fought off a troll. Why would you want to run now?
Ben desperately wished he could explain. He liked Zadiah. The spellsword was funny and cheerful, even when he was drilling them to death, and he was very capable as well as kind. Surely if Ben told him everything, the elf would understand why they had to go. However, he and the other guardians were all sworn to secrecy. The only reason Charlie and Natalie knew what was going on was because they'd been with Ben every step of the way, including when he had first learned of Elizabeth's armor. He wasn't allowed to trust the secret to anyone else, especially anyone in the Institute. Prince Robert was already obsessed with finding and possessing the artifacts, so Ben kept quiet, even though he knew it made him look guilty.
"Probably thought you shouldn't be throwing your life away on some stupid battle," Aaron suggested. "You've always thought you were better than everyone else."
He'd made a point of being the one to escort Ben, and his grip on Ben's arm was painfully tight. He kept deliberately yanking Ben forward, making him stumble. But Ben didn't reply or put up a fight. That would only make matters 100 times worse. Not that they could get much worse than they were right now. At least he and Joshua still had the artifacts. Clearly the enchanted sword and the shield must have once again hidden themselves from view. But Ben refused to use such deadly weapons on his fellow apprentices and institute members, and Zadiah had both their spell shooters. They were effectively helpless. The tunnel widened out into a large vaulted stone room with small barred chambers on either side, and the group of wardens lounging there stood at attention as Zadiah entered. He marched the prisoners over to the warden in charge, a tall blonde woman who had 2 red diamonds hovering over her shoulder.
"These 2 lads tried sneaking away," Zadiah explained, shaking his head again. "I want them held until they can be properly tried."
The woman nodded.
"We'll take it from here,"
she promised. Her mouth was set in a grim line as she examined the group.
"We don't take too kindly to deserters."
Zadiah relinquished control, summoning his apprentices back to him with a wave. They retreated back up the tunnel, all except Aaron.
"I'll just stay and make sure the chains are good and tight," he said with a smirk. "I'd hate to think you were going anywhere."
Ben seethed, but still refused to give the other apprentice a response. The warden commander motioned, and 2 of her people escorted Ben and Joshua farther along the hallway. Many of the cells here already held people, both apprentices and full institute members by the look of them. Most slumped despondently on the rough stone slabs that served as both benches and beds. Evidently, these prisoners really had tried to desert and had been caught. By the time the guards stopped at an empty cell, the dungeon entrance was no longer in sight, and Ben tried to control a faint shudder as he wondered if that was so that no one would hear them scream. Aaron was clearly loving this.
"Oh, is it too dark for you?"
he asked in fake baby talk, pouting at Ben. Normally, Aaron was careful to maintain the role of perfect apprentice around anyone else, especially Fall Institute members, but he was so thrilled to have finally caught Ben that he let that mask slip, showing his true nature. Then he suddenly straightened, a strange look on his face. The two spellswords didn't notice. One of them was busy unlocking the cell door, and the other was facing back the way they'd come, watching for any sign of trouble. The second one stiffened like he'd just seen something alarming, but he didn't say anything or make any other move. He seemed still as a statue.
"Right, in you go,"
the first spellsword declared, tugging the cell door open. Suddenly, he stumbled forwards like he'd just been kicked. He staggered into the cell, and as he turned and opened his mouth to shout, he froze. Just like Aaron and the other spellsword. Ben couldn't believe his eyes or his ears, as a moment later, a voice declared,
"Well, don't just stand there, get them in the cell."
It was a voice he knew very well. Natalie.
"What are you doing here?"
Joshua asked, as he helped Ben haul the second spellsword into the cell. Natalie snorted, and Ben knew her eyes were gleaming, even though he couldn't see her.
"Will told me you'd been caught trying to sneak away," she admitted. "I guessed what was going on and came running. Like always."
Her voice still held a trace of bitterness, but not too much, Ben was glad to hear. Had she forgiven him?
"Well, I'm really glad you did," he assured her.
He grabbed Aaron by the arm and started to tug him towards the cell, and the other apprentice shuddered, blinked, and stared at what he was seeing.
"What?"
Aaron blurted out. Clearly, whatever spell Natalie had used to stun him had just worn off.
"Hey, go!"
He opened his mouth wide to shout for help, so Ben did the only thing he could. He slammed his fist into the obnoxious bully's stomach as hard as he could. Aaron doubled over, all the air driven from him by the force of the blow, his arms instinctively wrapping protectively around his middle. He straightened up again, slowly, eyes wide, and stared down at Ben.
"You're dead,"
he managed to gasp, the words coming out as barely a wheeze.
"I don't think so," Ben replied. "I think you're the one in trouble here, not me."
He raised his fist as he stepped in close again. Aaron tried to back up, but he was already up against the cell bars.
"Back off,"
he demanded. But his words lacked power, and his eyes were filled with fear. He lashed out, and Ben stepped nimbly back, easily avoiding the clumsy blow. Aaron had never been big on doing his own dirty work, whereas Ben had never had a problem with diving right in.
"When I tell them what you've done," Aaron blustered, "you'll be finished here. You'll be declared an outlaw and a traitor, just like your parents."
That had been the wrong thing to say. Even though the treason charges had been dropped, the accusation still stung, and Ben straightened, his blood boiling.
"My parents would die to protect this school and the rest of the kingdom," he blurted out, spitting the words at Aaron with such force the bully recoiled as if physically struck. "What would you die for?"
There must have been something in his eyes then, because his tormentor turned pale.
"Don't hurt me,"
he begged, cowering and raising both hands to shield his face.
"You've had this coming since I met you," Ben declared,
and with a quick but powerful move, punched the arrogant bully full in the jaw. Aaron's head whipped back from the force of the blow, and his whole body sagged as he collapsed, unconscious. Ben and Joshua managed to catch him before he hit the floor, and Joshua shot Ben a look of surprise, but also respect.
"I never liked him,"
he admitted, as he helped Ben carry the limp apprentice into the cell. Ben nodded his thanks, both for the help and for the support. Once both Aaron and the other spellsword were inside, Ben and Joshua slid back out into the hall and shut the cell door. Natalie was now visible beside them, her concealment spell having worn off, and Ben watched as she aimed her spell shooter at the cell itself and fired a white pellet that exploded into a shimmering barrier. He recognized the silent spell they'd often used when discussing sensitive topics in public and nodded. Even once the guards woke up, no one would hear their calls for help.
"We need to get our spell shooters," Ben told her.
She just grinned.
"You mean these?"
She held the items out to them, and he and Joshua eagerly rearmed themselves. Ben glanced at Joshua.
"We need to get to the Crimson Tower. The others will be waiting."
He thought Natalie might argue, or at least insist again upon coming along, but she didn't. Instead, she just stepped between them and raised her spell shooter. "This one will cover all three of us," she told them, before firing a spell over their heads. It settled down around them with a splash like a gentle rain, and Ben smiled as he saw that his friends now shimmered like reflections in a pool. He was in the spell with them, completely invisible from the outside. They headed for the jail's entrance, moving as quickly as they could without making any noise. It felt like forever, but finally they had crept past the other wardens and back up the tunnel and then the stairs. Then Ben led them around a corner of the institute and into the garden behind one of the hedges there. "Drop the spell," he told Natalie. "We're better off just walking about openly like we have a right to be here, rather than sneaking around invisibly and hoping no one bumps into us. Or saw through the spell, which he knew could happen. They'd look awfully suspicious then." She must have agreed, because a second later, they all melted back into visibility. "Right, let's go," Ben declared, and he stepped back out. He'd been half afraid an alarm would go off the second he did, but nothing happened. No one even glanced their way as he and his friends headed back towards the front gate. Everyone had their own problems to worry about right now, and luckily the guards had changed, so the two who'd seen their arrest were no longer the ones manning the gate. As they walked, Ben wondered what would happen when they came back to the Institute. Would they be able to explain what they'd done and why? Or would they all be tried for desertion and thrown in prison? But he couldn't worry about that right now. Besides, if they didn't make it back, none of this would matter. Chapter 9. The Quest Begins. Ben let out the breath he'd been holding once they'd passed safely through the Institute's front gate and were headed down the hill towards the rest of Tasia. He had to resist the urge not to glance over his shoulder just in case the guards were watching or Aaron was running after them or something else bad was coming. They were fine, he assured himself. They'd made it out of the Institute safely. It struck him then that the last time he'd been worried about getting away from the Institute, it had been on his first visit here, back when he barely knew anything about the Unseen Kingdoms or magic or his parents or anything. Then he'd just been worried that the directors wanted to hand him over to Suktar in order to preserve their peace treaty. Now he was fleeing a desertion charge in order to save everyone. Joshua sidled up beside him. "Slow down," he warned quietly. "Walking fast looks like we're on a mission. Running looks like we're guilty of something." Ben hadn't even realized he'd sped up, but now he forced himself to slow to a slightly calmer pace. "Right, sorry." Natalie was on his other side and easily keeping pace with him as usual. "What's the plan?" she asked, as they followed the street down into town and then headed east. "Back to the Crimson Tower?" "Yeah," Ben admitted after pausing ever so slightly. A part of him had wondered if he should even answer, but this was Natalie he was talking to, his closest friend after Charlie, and his first friend here, and the one who had just helped him and Joshua escape. He might worry about her being safe if she came with them, but he had no doubts about her loyalty. "The others should already be there. Dagmar's been stockpiling gear." Next to him, Natalie sighed. "So this is it, then?" she asked slowly, twisting a strand of hair between her fingers. "It's time."
"It's past time," Joshua grumbled from the other side, though not meanly. "But we had to figure out how to use these things first."
He waved his arm about, causing the shield strapped to it to gleam in the early morning light. Natalie turned to Ben.
"You can use the sword now?" she asked,
her green eyes wide. When he nodded, she clapped her hands and leaned over to hug him, her anger at least momentarily forgotten.
"Ben, that's fantastic!"
"Yeah, I'm sure Suktar's quaking in his boots," Ben agreed dryly.
Still, it felt nice to know that Natalie at least believed in him.
"I hope you really can end this," Natalie added, turning serious again. "From what I've heard around the Institute, they're expecting the first real attack any day now."
That made Ben stop in his tracks as he turned to stare at her.
"The first real attack," he repeated. "Am I the only one who remembers what happened in London? What was that then?"
"An initial skirmish, according to what I've gathered," she answered,
her solemn expression proving that she was not joking in the least.
I know it looked pretty horrible to us, but apparently most of the pods haven't even opened yet, and the rest of Sakta's